You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
This morning, we'll continue talking about Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of these least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders shall be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of the body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. And all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slap you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of our Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward would you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I mean, Jesus' standards are so high. Yeah, they're so, so high. You know, we've been reading about Jesus' standards, and he wants us to live by a higher standard. Jesus is saying,
Just don't be religious. Don't be a Pharisee. It's good to come to church, but it's not just the body that needs to be here. God, Jesus, wants us to work on our hearts. He is concerned about who you are. Yes, what you do, but who you are on the inside. He cares. He cares so much. Starting in verse 41, he says, you have heard, right? You have heard that you shall not commit murder. Now, is that a good command? Yeah, right? That's a good thing. But he says, Jesus takes it even higher. He takes it deeper. He says, don't even be angry. He says, reconcile. Don't wait for the person to come to you. If you know that somebody has something against you, go and reconcile. Now, women, is that what the world teaches? No. It's a completely different teaching. But you know, sometimes we can get into the trap of just being religious and knowing what the Bible says and knowing the right thing and giving ourselves the choice to obey it or not, and just feeling content, but knowing Jesus is not content just with us knowing. He cares. He cares deeply about each one of us, about our relationship with him. You know, in verse 25, Jesus says, hold on, I'm just trying to fix my tablet. Okay, in verse 25, it says, settle matters quickly, right? Sometimes we don't want to settle matters quickly. We want to forget about it. We want to ignore things. But Jesus gets to the heart. And I think we can ask, but why? Jesus, why should I do these things? In verse 27, he talks about adultery. Again, that's a good commandment. But he says, even if you look at a woman lustfully, somebody looks at a woman lustfully, is committing adultery in her heart. But why? In verse 33, he says, don't make an oath. Don't break an oath. Don't even swear. Just let be yes. But why? In verse 38, he says, you have heard an eye for an eye. That sounds fair. But Jesus says, no, resist an evil person. Give. But why? Jesus' expectations, if we're really honest, they're difficult. Are they hard? Yes, they're hard. And we can say, but why, Jesus, why? And that makes me think about my grandson, because he's gotten to the stage of why. Have you been around a toddler that they're always asking, why? But why? But why? And sometimes it gets a little bit annoying, right? Because at the beginning, you try to give them an answer. Because of this and this and this. Because of this. And eventually, if you're a parent and you had a toddler, you know what I'm talking about? Eventually, you get to a point that you just cannot keep on answering why. You just said, because I say so, okay? Because I know better. And sometimes women, when it comes to our relationship with God, we always asking why. And then we get scriptures, we get answers from the scriptures. And sometimes we just need to realize that God is our maker and he knows better. There's nothing wrong with asking questions because you can get answers. But the problem is when the answer that you get is not what you want. Or it's not, if the answer that you get is something that you agree with, it's like, great, I got it. But the answer that you get is something that you don't understand or you don't like. Then we get stuck instead of trusting God. You know, Jesus cares about our hearts. He's taking it deeper because he knows us. You know what? He knows everything about us, but he knows that. He knows that we need to work on our hearts. And we need to work on those little choices and little mistakes that we make that lead us into sin. You know, when the Bible says, when Jesus says, "Do not," you have heard, it was said, "Do not commit adultery." That's an obvious one. But Jesus says, just think about it. Just leaving at somebody lustfully is adultery in your heart. He cares about your heart, not just the things that you do. Because the thoughts that we have in our hearts, eventually they become actions. If you ask yourself where you're at spiritually, I want you to think about how did you get there? And chances are it were those little thoughts that you didn't hold on to or made them obedient to Christ that little by little became actions. Are you with me? And also, when I think about the expectation that Jesus has for us, are those things easy? No, right? They're difficult. But you know, Jesus doesn't want us just to take the easy way out. You know, his standards are higher and that they're difficult, but they're good for us. They're very, very good for us. He's calling us to take the higher road, to get the difficult road. But why? Let's look at scripture in Romans. Let's look at scriptures in Romans. In Romans chapter 5. Starting in verse 3. He says, Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, when things are difficult, do we like them? Do we enjoy them? Do we embrace them? No, we don't like difficult things. We don't like suffering. How many of us enjoy suffering? Nobody does, right? But I appreciate this passage because it's telling us. It says, in an earlier version, it says, not only so, but also we rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance character. You see, God wants to work in our hearts to have character and to have hope. And how do we get the character and the hope? Through sufferings. Sufferings help us to be like Jesus. And as women, sometimes when sufferings come, what do? We quit. We want a way out. Like, I don't want this. You know, I don't want sufferings. I don't like things that are difficult. But sufferings help us to be like Jesus. Jesus suffered, not just on the cross. I think, can you imagine Jesus came to this world and he was perfect? And was the world perfect? No. I'm sure every day there was challenges. Every single day, he was the perfect example for us to suffer. Suffering calls us to persevere. And perseverance builds character, right? But what happens if during our suffering we quit? Do we develop character? No. Character gives us hope. But what happens if we quit? Do we get hope? No, then you become hopeless. You have no hope. So ask yourself, are you hopeless? Are you persevering? Are you learning from the sufferings that we go through in life? I lost my husband a year ago. We lost a friend a year ago, all of us. It was suffering. It was hard. My husband was a strong man. He was athletic. He never smoked in his life. He will have a glass of wine once in a while at a wedding. He ate organic food. He planted his own food over the summer. He went fishing regularly so that he can have fish almost throughout the whole year. He would take his physicals. He would go to his physicals on time. He did everything that humanly possible could be done. He was responsible. He was reliable. But he was diagnosed with a very aggressive type of cancer. At the beginning, when we were told the news, I was very faithful and positive that he was going to be okay. The doctors told us that. Plus, his cancer was caught at the beginning. So, if something is called very early, what is it that's supposed to happen? You go through the treatment, and then you go for a follow-up, and the doctor tells you everything is fine. I was convinced that that's what's going to happen. There was no fear in my heart. I knew. You catch the cancer early, you treat it, and he'll be fine. I believe that. So he went through his surgery, and every test result that we got, the news were worse and worse and worse. And I've been a disciple for so many years. I have helped so many people through their sufferings, through their disappointments, through the difficult times. But there's a difference when you face them yourself. There's a big difference. All of us face sufferings. If you're a teenager, your suffering might be the pimples in your face. Let's not laugh. Those are serious things when you're a teenager. Right? Your skin. I mean, the ones that we have gone through it, you said it's going to get better. But when you're there, it's suffering. It's suffering. If you want to lose weight and you're not losing weight, it's suffering. I mean, it's not levels of this suffering is bigger than this. It's your suffering. Right? But I want you to think about the sufferings that we go through are there to make us more like Jesus, to produce perseverance, for you to have character. And I have gone through that, and I'm going through it through my husband's passing. To know the things that I tell people, you need to trust in God. To say, do I trust in God? I prayed like Jesus prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, can you take this cup away from me and my husband? I was like, God, make my husband better. Heal him. You can. You're God. Make him better. But then I had to stop and I have to say, that's my will, God. That's what I want. But God, let your will be done. And your will could be he's going to get better or you're going to take him home with you. And I didn't pray one time or two times or three times. I prayed every day for 6 years. Every day for 6 years. God was teaching me to trust him. Because sometimes we trust God when things are easy. When your skin is clean and no pimples and you have a good day, you feel happy and joyful. But when those things are out of control, you're not. You got to trust God. Trust God with your confidence, with your security. You know that when you have money and things go well, you're great. But when you are struggling financially, trust God. Trust God if you have been a disciple for many years and want to get married and there's nobody around. Don't take shortcuts. All of you guys are wonderful ladies. If you go to the train, you can start talking to any guy, and the guy will be friendly with you. Don't take shortcuts. Follow what the Bible says. It has to be a man that loves God, that is a disciple. Don't take shortcuts. Sufferings are there to help us persevere. I had to persevere through the years that God had the power to make my husband well. But God, who gave my husband life, God that created my husband in his mother's womb, God that knew every cell of his body, the good ones and the bad ones, God that knew how many hairs he had, that God could say, it's time for him to come home. And he had all the right to do that.
You know, the Bible talks about, and Matthew 13, verses 44. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it and hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. In this parable, Jesus is talking about, he's comparing the kingdom to a great pearl or to a treasure hidden on a field. And when the person who found this field and found this pearl found it, sold everything they had to buy the treasure to get the pearl, right? And I remember as a young Christian listening to illustrations about this passage. And I said, okay, so this guy, when he was looking for this pearl and found the pearl and got into the shop and wanted to see the pearl, said, how much is the pearl? This is the pearl that I've been looking for all my life. And you know, I'm gonna tell my husband, and let me call him. So, and he's like, oh, you have a husband? I'll take your husband. It's like, no, but no. How about my children? What am I going to tell them about their dad? Oh, you have children? I'll take your children. It's like, what do you mean you want my husband? You want my children? You know, how am I going to take care of my house, my car, my job? He's like, no, you have a car? I take the car. I take the job, you know. I take everything for this pearl, everything. And then the person is like, oh my goodness, do I really want this pearl? And it's like, but this is something that you've been looking all your life. And he said, okay, great, I take the pearl. And then the person says, the owner says, here, I'll give you your money back, your house back, your field back. I'll give you everything back. But remember that everything that you have is not yours. It's mine. I'm just giving it to you. And I remember learning that as a young Christian. Because as a disciple, if we don't give up everything we have, we cannot be disciples. But God doesn't take your job, doesn't take your mother, doesn't take your father, doesn't take your husband. He just gave it to us so that we can take care of them for a little while. So when my husband was sick, I was reminded of all these things. That the husband that I had was not really mine to keep. He was God's. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you this husband. But remember, he's not your husband. He is my son, and he can come back to me. I had to be reminded of all those things. So remember, the children that you have, they're not really yours. They're God's. So take care of them the way Jesus would. The job that you have, it's really God's. Take care. Do a great job because it's God's. The husband that you have, respect him. Treasure him. Value him. Because everything that you have is God's. The body that you have, take care of it. The mouth that you have, be careful what you say. The thoughts that come into your head. Because everything belongs to God. And sometimes we forget. And we think that everything is ours. And we don't take care of those things. So when my husband went through suffering, and we suffer emotional suffering of hearing bad news after bad news, knowing that every time every time the treatment didn't work, it was a closed door to a new treatment. And then a closed door. And the new treatment and a closed door. And we went through that for years until the doctor said there was no more treatment. To see his strong body, and you guys saw it, and you know what I mean.
To see him deteriorate was hard. But then I had to think about my faith. And we had to have to think about what's important. Is the body important? Or is the soul important? Then we have to make a decision. Where are our treasures? Are our treasures here or our treasures on earth? You see, the sufferings are there for you to help you, for me to help me to get closer to God. I don't know where your suffering is at this moment, but don't waste it with anger, with bitterness, with resentment. Your sufferings are there for you to persevere, to form your character. The more you fight, the more you're not becoming the woman that God wants you to be. God was still forming my character. He wanted me to trust in him. He wanted me to know that heaven is real, even though I knew that, but now it's more real than ever because my husband is in heaven. He wanted me to know about where does my joy come from? Where does my security come from? Why do I do the things that I do? Is it about God? And I had to be refocused and learn and to know. Let me share something else that I've learned. I've learned that I have made so many mistakes when people are sick. Because before, I will think, if somebody that was sick will say they don't want visitors. I sometimes used to talk to people and say, no, but you need the encouragement. You need the encouragement. Is that true? Yes, it's true. The person needs encouragement. But I learned that it's not what I think is what the person needs. It's what they want. It's what they not. Sometimes they don't want visitors, and that's okay. That's fine. I've learned so much because God was developing my character. What is it that God wants you to learn? What is it that Jesus wants you to learn through your suffering? And are you learning it? Ask yourself, what are you suffering from right now? Okay? And what is it that God is trying to form in your heart, in your character? I remember when I was young or when I was a campus student, I was irresponsible. It wasn't deliberately that I said, I am going to be irresponsible. My goal is to be irresponsible. No, I had good intentions. I always wanted to do things that I needed to be done, but I was not organized. I thought I wasn't organized, but I think the root of it was laziness. I was lazy. I'll procrastinate. I'll try to do things at the last minute. And guess what? Sometimes there's consequences of your actions. So if I waited for a paper to be done at the last minute, I got it done. I'll be up all night. I got it done. Do you think I will get an A+ on the paper? No, I didn't. English is not my first language. It was impossible. It's not gonna happen. It was impossible. If I would have put the work in it on time and I have gone for extra help into the writing center, maybe after many revisions. But from one neck to the next, no. Right? And sometimes there's consequences. Sometimes the sufferings is consequences of our actions. So even with your sufferings, ask yourself, is it consequences of your actions? And if it's consequences of your actions, what is it that God is trying to teach you in your character? I had to learn through those consequences of being irresponsible when I was younger that I needed to be responsible. That I needed to do the thing that I didn't want to do, I had to do. I had to do first. I could not just say, I do it later. I had to do it now. But those were things that I saw in my own heart, in my own life. And God continues to show me things through sufferings, through perseverance to develop character. Now as a parent, let's be honest, parents, do we want our kids to suffer? No. We do all that we can so that they don't suffer. But at the same time, sisters, think about this passage. Because suffering develops perseverance and perseverance character. Do we want our children to have character? Yes. Don't rob your children the opportunity to have character. What do I mean? I'm not saying they should suffer for, you know, everything. Let them suffer. No, no, no. But sometimes we bail them out too quickly. You know, I remember, and this is a true story, and it was crazy. I remember one of my kids forgetting their gym stuff in the house, you know, and I saw it. And I remember running after them without shoes on the streets, after the bus, running with the jump, you know, because I didn't want them to, you know, get in trouble or you know, not to have the gym clothes. But they were depending on me for everything. Mom is going to build me up. Mom is going to be there. Mom is going to bring me the homework, right? Instead of, guess what? You got to take your gym clothes. And if you get don't points, if you lose points for that, you needed to be responsible with it. So yes, we need to pray for balance. But sometimes we overprotect them and they don't develop character. Amen? See, Jesus is concerned about our hearts. As we read through the Sermon on the Mount, it's not just a bunch of rules that he's given us. And it's nothing, it's difficult, but it's difficult because he is working in our hearts for us to persevere so that we can have the character of Jesus. Amen? Well, those are the things that I wanted to share with you this morning. Thank you so much for coming. Please let's, as we close up, let's encourage one another and thank you so much for coming, the people that are visiting. Let's speak to the person who invited you, and we're going to close up with a last song. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.